Our epistle lesson today comes from the epistle that St. Paul wrote to the Romans, and it's Romans chapter 10. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or, who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 to 33. If you are comfortable doing so and would like to stand, you may do that, and you may remain seated if you'd like to also. The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. This story from Matthew 14 raises a question. Do you have enough faith? Maybe you've been beaten and battered around by the circumstances of your life. Has your faith taken a hit? Maybe you find yourself doubting what you once thought you believed. If God is up there, as I've always taken for granted, then why would he allow this to happen? Why does he seem so distant? Where is God when it really hurts? For those of us who are Christians and have counted on God's presence and help in our lives, when our lives become difficult, it can be traumatizing to go through periods of doubt. Maybe you've prayed and your prayers go unanswered, and you wonder, is it because I lack faith? Maybe even worse, we wonder, if God is up there after all, will he reject me because of my doubts? We're saved by faith, grace through faith, after all. So what happens when I've lost my faith? This incident we read about of Jesus walking on the water and Peter coming out to meet him, this isn't about Peter not keeping his eyes on Jesus, and that's why he started to sink. That's not what it's about. Nor is it about Peter daring to climb out of the boat and setting an example for the rest of us. The only role Peter has in this story is that he's the guy who lost faith. The real story here is about Christ and how he responded to Peter when he lost faith. It's an important story because all of us struggle with faith. Sometimes our faith is strong, and sometimes it's gone, seems like. That's what happened to Peter. In a moment of bold faith, he stepped out of the boat when Jesus invited him to and walked toward him. But just as quickly as he was emboldened, he lost faith and began to sink. But Jesus didn't let faithless Peter down. Jesus pulled him out of the water. Nor did Jesus kick Peter out of the club. He was still an apostle. You know, at the beginning of Matthew 14, there's the story of another famous believer in Jesus, John the Baptist. At the start of Matthew 14, we read about his death at the hands of King Herod. Jesus called John the Baptist the greatest man ever born. And John the Baptist was the first person to recognize and proclaim who Jesus was before anybody had heard of Jesus. John the Baptist pointed at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Sounds like John the Baptist had faith in Christ. John the Baptist is recognized as the last Old Testament prophet. He was sent to prepare the way of the Messiah. And that's exactly what he did, baptizing people with a baptism of repentance. He became famous, a household name throughout ancient Israel. But when John the Baptist criticized King Herod, the Roman-appointed ruler of the northern part of Israel, when John pointed out Herod's immorality and greed after Herod took his brother's wife for his own, Herod had John thrown into prison. And there in prison, John the Baptist, a very famous religious figure in his own time, the greatest man ever born, according to Jesus, there John the Baptist sat in a stinking, rotten prison cell as month after month after month rolled by. And finally, John the Baptist's faith cracked. He sent emissaries to Jesus asking, "Are you really the one to come?" In other words, are you really the Christ, the Messiah? Or should we look for another? In other words, John the Baptist, the great John the Baptist, was beginning to doubt who Jesus was. Why? Why would John the Baptist doubt? Because the circumstances of his life caused even John the Baptist to lose faith. If Jesus is the Christ, he thought, why am I in this stinking, rotten prison cell month after month? If doubt can happen to John the Baptist, it can happen to anyone. You know, there's a great story in Mark chapter 9 where a man approached Jesus about his son who was tormented by an evil spirit. "Please help us," he pleaded with Jesus, "if you can." "If I can," responded Jesus, "all things are possible for one who believes." "I believe," cried the man, "help my unbelief." I love that story because I think it describes all of us. "I believe. Help my unbelief." We who have faith in God are tempted to doubt by the struggles and circumstances of living. Here's a fascinating truth, though. God uses our struggles and doubts to eventually strengthen our faith. It's the Holy Spirit that produces faith in us, primarily working through God's Word, but also using our baptisms and the bread and wine of communion, and even using our struggles and challenges in life. You know, we have no power whatsoever to conjure up faith on our own. We think of faith as something within us, but we cannot manufacture even one little iota of faith internally. Faith is a gift given to us, according to Ephesians chapter 2. The explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed says this: I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. So here's a truth that's comforting to remember. God will give you the faith you need, just like He did for Peter, just like He did for John the Baptist, just like He did for the man who cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." God does that for all of us because we are imperfect. In fact, we're both sinner and saint at the same time. We are believers who sometimes struggle with doubt. That's our human condition. Again, even us who've received the gift of faith struggle with doubt sometimes. But you who've received the gift of faith don't need to worry that it will be taken away. In Matthew 17, Jesus told His disciples that if they had faith the size of a mustard seed, they could demand that a mountain move, and it would. His point was, you who are redeemed by Christ, you've been given all the faith you need when you need it. God gives you what you need for life today and life forever. Just like He rescued Peter, Christ will rescue you. He'll never let you drown in doubt. So relax and be at peace. You are forgiven. Be filled with joy. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of faith given to us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to treasure what has been given to us and never fear, but to know that our lives are in Your hands. And even when we go through periods of doubt and struggle, Lord, we can be confident that You continue to hold us in Your hands and keep us safe within Your grasp. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.